Greetings to you from right here in the middle of it all. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I am Doug McBurney. Welcome to the pulse of conservative talk on the web. It's so good to have you along for another thrill-packed adventure on the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do take the events of the week and focus them through the lens of original thought. So glad to have you here on Labor Day. This is Labor Day. We're a day delayed as we celebrate labor across America. So to all you mothers out there, we celebrate with you. It's Labor Day. What's that? Oh, it's not labor as in childbirth labor? Is that right? Oh, it's labor, like workers of the world unite, that type of thing. All right, well, I don't really want to participate in that. But we did take the day off yesterday. We're a day delayed here. I want to apologize to everyone. No, I don't want to apologize. We went down to the Colorado State Fair with the folks from Personhood USA and Colorado Right to Life, and we spent a good part of the day gathering signatures for the new personhood effort out here in Colorado. We intend to put personhood to a vote here in Colorado and in as many states as possible until the Lord returns or until we win. And so we were down there gathering signatures yesterday. Big day down at the fair, and quite the freak show, too. At one point, my daughter, she was standing with me. Of course, I'm gathering signatures, but she was close by in the booth, and she would shout out to the assembled masses, unwashed as they were. She would shout out, "Are you a registered voter? Would you like to sign the pro-life petition?" She would try to get their attention. And at one point, a gentleman walked by. He had so much jewelry in his face and so many tattoos from his wrist all the way up to his ears, and then he had fish scales tattooed on his bald head. And Nicole said, "Are you a registered..." And she just, I mean, he stopped her dead in her tracks. She has never seen a freak like that before. And if I remember correctly, he did not sign the petition. But there were a lot of tattooed facial jewelry freak types who signed the petition because, you know, even a freak heathen knows that it's wrong to kill babies and knows that a person is a person no matter how small they are. I mean, even the heathens know that, for crying out loud, at least some of them. Very few of them, as a matter of fact. But you'd be surprised at who came by and signed the petition. But we're back now to our scheduled duties here. Here at the Weekly Worldview, we're glad to be back. And I'm not sure where to begin the show because I'm still in quite a mood over this whole situation surrounding registered sex offenders. It's got me quite upset. But I suppose I'll get to it in the natural course of the program. Let's start out with a story out of Stone Mountain, Georgia, that I was warned that I should not read. Dateline Stone Mountain, Georgia, from the Associated Press. Police say a 61-year-old man, annoyed with a crying 2-year-old girl at a Walmart, slapped the child several times after warning the toddler's mother to keep her quiet. It just strikes me as funny. I'm sorry. I know. It's assault. It's terrible. It's horrible. But this story has run on every local news segment in the country. I mean, this happened in Georgia, but it was on the local news here in Denver. And the only reason it runs on every local news channel is because all of us deep down have wanted to spank a crying child in Walmart. Now, this gentleman is probably a major big-time jerk and no friend of mine, don't get me wrong, okay? But it just struck me as funny because I go through my day and my week and I encounter parents with children who are completely out of control, and you would like to just step in and render some child-rearing aid. Now, I'm not going to endorse what Mr. Roger Stevens of Stone Mountain is charged with doing, because that was a, well, he's been charged with felony cruelty to children. Okay, not to put too fine a point on it, but he slapped a kid in Walmart because the kid was just out of control. Now, authorities say that the girl and her mother were shopping Monday when the toddler began crying. The police report says Stevens approached the mother and said, "If you don't shut that baby up, I'll shut her up for you." That's not that funny. Come on now. But tell me, have not all of us at some point wanted to somehow, maybe not using Mr. Stevens' method, but somehow gain control of an out-of-control situation with a screaming two-year-old brat? Authorities say that after Stevens slapped the girl, she began screaming. So this obviously not effective, right? Funny as it might be. And the child was not hurt. The child didn't even go to the hospital. Her feelings were probably hurt more than anything. She was probably stunned. But what Mr. Stevens could have and should have done, in my humble opinion, is he should have slapped the mother, rhetorically, with some biblical truth about child rearing, for crying out loud. Refer her to the website, nogreaterjoy.org, and go learn how to get control of your kid. So we in no way endorse the slapping of random children in Walmart, but we also don't endorse parents who allow their kids to just go ballistic and get out of control. And so way down in the deep, hidden subconscious of every American is the desire, well, not to slap a kid in the face at Walmart, but just to get control of the situation. And really, we want to be there to help. And slapping the kid obviously didn't help because it just started screaming. Little brat. But anyway, I'm sure I'm no fan of Roger Stevens, although I've never met him. I wouldn't mind offering him some advice on... Anyway, I can tell you this. I wouldn't be afraid of strolling down the Walmart aisle with Mr. Roger Stevens present with my kids, because when my kids start whining and decide to get out of control, just a couple of words from mom or dad and they stop, they cease, they halt. And in fact, we would have impressed Mr. Stevens, and we might, and maybe it would have helped his overall state of mind. The guy was obviously on the edge. All right, now let's move on into more shocking news and much more dangerous news. I have a story from the Salt Lake Tribune, a newspaper there in Salt Lake City. A school principal there in Salt Lake has apologized for showing a video at an assembly that a politically conservative group leader is calling radical leftist propaganda. Now, I'm not talking about Barry Ho's upcoming address to the assembled masses of ignorant youth in the public schools of America. That's coming up on Tuesday, which may be today for many of you listening. The first day back to work after the long Labor Day weekend. I'm really bummed. I thought we were celebrating birth and labor and all that. I didn't realize it was a communist holiday. Anyway, back to this story. This is much more important. Children at Eagle Bay Elementary School in Farmington were shown a short video called I Pledge on August 28th. The video opens with an image of President Barack Barry Ho Obama and part of a speech in which he says, "Let us summon a new spirit of patriotism, of responsibility, where each of us resolves to pitch in and work harder, and to look after not only ourselves, but each other." The video then features celebrities making pledges about how they will help the president and the world. It just sounds delightful to me. Anyway, conservatives are upset because there were a number of pledges. Well, should I say conservatives? How conservative can you be if you let your children go to a godless public school? I think you pretty much disqualify yourself as a conservative, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, some of the pledges in the video, such as a pledge to sell my obnoxious car and buy a hybrid, and a pledge to advance stem cell research. Some conservatives, some alleged conservatives, say that these cross the line. Chris Williams, who is the school district spokesman for the Davis School District there in Utah. Now, what's the deal here? Is this a guy? Yeah, spokesman. So now the schools have spokesmen, and all the police departments have spokespeople. What's going on with that? Anyway, the spokesman said that school principal Ophelia Wade and school PTA leaders decided to show the video as part of an assembly about the school's theme for the year. What is their theme for the year? Service. Yeah, that's the theme for the year at the Davis School District there out in Salt Lake City, Utah. Service. It's a little generic for me. I'm not sure. You know, the SS was service. You know, the Hitler Youth, that was service. I mean, that would have fit in with the, at least fit in with their theme for the year. Service. Anyway, they say the PTA board chose the video and the inept, obtuse principal didn't even see it before it was shown to the assembly of ignorant children there. Let's see here. Gail Ruzica, she's the president of the conservative Utah Eagle Forum. She said the video was blatantly political. She said other offensive pledges, I should say, included, "I pledge to be of service to Barack Obama." It goes back to my whole Hitler Youth thing there. Also, "I pledge allegiance to the funk and the United Funk of Funkadelica." Yeah. Well, that was probably the least harmful pledge in this whole thing. And they had other pledges not to use plastic grocery bags and pledges not to flush the toilet after urinating.
What?
I thought teachers, at least in my day, they insisted not only that you flush the toilet after you urinate, but you wash your hands. But these teachers, or the people who made this video, are obviously more interested in saving water, I guess, than basic sanitation, which has brought us out of the Stone Ages into the modern era. Anyway, this president of the allegedly conservative Utah Eagle Forum, she said it's very inappropriate to show a radical leftist propaganda piece that political to children. If the parents want their children to learn about those things and do them in the home, well, wonderful, fine. Well, wait a minute, it's not wonderful. It's not fine. You call yourself a conservative? You should be against leftist propaganda no matter where it's taught. And if parents are teaching it in their home, they need to be slapped, rhetorically, with scriptural truth about child rearing. Don't flush the toilet after you urinate. That's never good. Never good to teach kids that. Anyway, she says it's not the place of the school to show a one-sided propaganda piece to children without parents knowing about it. You know what, Gail? And I appreciate Eagle Forum and the conservative things that they stand for. Don't get me wrong. But, Gail, if you send your children to the public school, you have to assume that there's going to be all kinds of things going on that you're not going to be aware of, like the assault on your daughters, the luring and the temptations of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of deviant behavior that your sons are going to come upon every day. It's going to be right there in their face, for crying out loud. Let's see. Such values should be decided in the home, not at school. I don't know. Educating your children should happen at home when the public schools are so out of control, okay? Take my advice, educate your kids at home. It's gotten that bad. All of you conservatives out there, I mean, if you send your kids to these schools, okay, I'm whipping a dead horse, I'm moving on. Dateline, Washington, D.C., President Barry Ho Barack Obama intends to address the youths of America in their first day back at school after Labor Day. And it's funny that there was such a big uproar that he's now released the text of the speech. And it's fairly innocuous. He says things like, let's see here. He tells kids to wash their hands, to cover their mouths when they cough.
What?
He makes no reference to health care reform. He tells them that it's hard to be successful, that they should work, that they shouldn't quit school. And he also noted in the speech, that's coming up, that he was raised by a single mother, as if that's something to be celebrated. And I guess anymore, I mean, if you've got AIDS, that's to be celebrated. If you're disabled, it should be celebrated. If you were raised by a single mother, should be celebrated. In fact, it's considered Neanderthal to point out that having AIDS is not optimum, being disabled is not optimum, and being raised by a single mother is less than optimum, Mr. Ho. But he points it out in the video as if it's a badge of honor. So this, and I think this is exactly what one should expect to hear in the public schools. Now, some conservatives have urged schools and parents to boycott Barry Ho's address. They say Obama is using the opportunity to promote a political agenda. Well, my guess is that he wanted to promote a political agenda, but he didn't realize that there was going to be this much outrage over it. And so I don't think he's promoting so much of a political agenda anymore. The wind blows hard against this mountainside. Across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide. Setting my feet upon the But I'm not responsible. I would not have thought that we had that album in our collection. But there you have it. Obviously, a little bit dizzy from the time off here. Anyway, let's just move right on. Now, we're talking about Barry Ho and his attempted address to the students of America coming up. It may be going on right now as we speak. I think he scheduled it to compete with the opening of Rush Limbaugh's show. He's starting it at noon Eastern time in order to hush Rush or try to compete with Rush, which is interesting in and of itself. But Barry Ho's got other things on his mind other than brainwashing America's children not to flush their toilet after they urinate. Now, wait a minute. I got those stories mixed up. Barry Ho never said that. As far as we know, he's for flushing the toilet and washing your hands and covering your mouth when you cough, as far as we know. This just came across the Bloomberg wires today. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad ruled out negotiations on his country's nuclear program while saying he is willing to discuss other international issues in public with President Barack Obama. At his first formal press conference since his alleged re-election, Ahmadinejad said that he didn't recognize any deadlines for talks on Iran's nuclear plans. In fact, he says, quote, "Iran's nuclear issue is over. We will never negotiate Iran's undeniable rights." And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I agree with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in that any sovereign nation that is a part of the family of mankind has the right to defend themselves with whatever weapons they can develop. The problem in Iran, Mr. Mahmoud, is you and the mullahs. You are illegitimate. The nation of Persia or Iran, whatever you want to call it, it's not illegitimate. And those people should have the right to defend themselves since there are nuclear weapons in the world. It's you, Mr. Ahmadinejad, and the mullahs there who were in control. You are illegitimate. You can't be trusted with nuclear weapons, nuclear fission, nuclear material. You can't be trusted with an erector set, for crying out loud. Okay? It's you, and it's you that needs to be removed. It's the government of Iran that is illegitimate. Why is it illegitimate? Because it refuses to recognize the legitimacy of other nations, primarily Israel. And then he's made aggressive threats of violence directly against Israel without provocation. So it's you, Mr. Mahmoud. Let's see here. But let's get now. How does this affect Barry Ho? Right. That's what really matters in every news story. I mean, if you watch CNN, every news story is related to how does this affect Barack Obama and his popularity in the polls and his place in history and all of that. Anyway, Mahmoud says that we are, quote, we are ready to discuss world issues with the U.S. president in the presence of mass media. The time of hidden agreements is over, and television debates are the best way. An interesting challenge leveled by Mr. Mahmoud. What does he mean here, the time of hidden agreements is over? That struck me as odd that he said that. I have a feeling that Barry Ho has been in a complete state of naivete and stupidity and a, just a demonstrable inability to handle the job to which he's been elected. I think he's been working the back channels with Mahmoud because he thinks Mahmoud is a guy that he can talk to and do business with. He doesn't realize that Mahmoud, all he wants to do is blow up the Jews. Nothing else really matters. Barry, earth to Barry. Mahmoud does not want to do business with you. He wants to blow up Jerusalem and kill all the Jews. Anyway, the time for hidden agreements is over. So the back channels have failed. Now Mahmoud wants to take on Barry Ho in a television debate. I don't think Barry can handle the situation, frankly, and I'm quite worried. Israel, by the way, wasn't there some comment from Israel? Israel wants, they say they want substantive and prompt steps to halt Iran's military nuclear program. So let's hope that Bibi Netanyahu, the current prime minister of Israel, is not working on back channels to try to make a deal and sing kumbaya with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Hopefully he's gassing up the F-16s and getting ready to get down to business. And I guess we'll see. All right, now to the this story, which has just gotten me, I'm just perplexed, I'm apoplectic. I want to punch holes through a drywall in order to just get out my angst about this, the entirety of this situation. Dateline CNN from Miami, Florida. The Florida Department of Corrections says there are fewer and fewer places in Miami-Dade County where sex offenders can live because the county has some of the strongest restrictions against this kind of criminal in the country. Yeah, you know, they have these rules. You've all heard of them. A registered sex offender cannot live within 1,000 feet of a school, 1,500 feet of a school bus stop, 2,500 feet of any park where children might congregate. Well, Florida now has so many of these rules that there's virtually nowhere for these sex offenders to live legally. And this is exactly what the Florida legislature and activists there intended to happen. They wanted to blanket their state with enough ordinances to push the sex offenders out of their state. Because, I mean, what are you going to do if you're a parent? You know, and the justice system is completely deaf to your pleas for justice. And if the people themselves are too foolish to realize that sex offenders can't be registered, they have to be put to death violently and publicly. If the people are too foolish to realize that's what they should demand, well, the government obviously is too inept and inadequate to provide any sort of justice. And so we end up with a hodgepodge of silly, ridiculous rules that push these sex offenders. Well, here, let's see what's happening here in Florida. At least five registered sex offenders there in Miami are currently living under the Julia Tuttle Causeway. They're living under a bridge, ladies and gentlemen. They're living under a bridge. Yeah, and the state has actually authorized this. The state of Florida is okay with this. By the way, a Miami Herald investigation 2 years ago found that 1,800 sex offenders in Florida were unaccounted for after violating probation, but the state of Florida is proud that they can account for five of them. They've put them under a bridge in Florida. Now, Senator Dave Ehrenberg down there in Florida, he's proposed a bill to increase electronic monitoring. Yeah, he says Florida's system for monitoring these criminals needs to be fixed. He wants to create a uniform statewide limit as to where these people can live and cut it down to 1,500 feet away from anywhere that children might congregate. You know, Senator Ehrenberg, might I remind you that Philip Garrido, recently in the news, holding a young lady captive for 18 years like an animal in his backyard, his monitors missed everything. Everything. The fact that he held a woman captive for 18 years. The fact that she worked for him like a slave. The fact that he fathered two children with her. The fact that they came to his house and didn't even look in his backyard. The fact that he reported to his probation officer, his parole officer, on a regular basis. There was no problem monitoring Philip Garrido. In fact, this guy was even stamped with a Blue's Clues stamp right in the middle of his face. Take a look at his picture. I mean, they missed every clue on this guy. Have you noticed that? Take a look at his picture, I'm telling you. They missed everything. So fixing the monitoring, Senator Ehrenberg, is not the problem. You know, when I saw this story, I thought to myself, these guys are a modern-day version of Cain. You remember Cain from the Bible? For those of you who may not be familiar, it's early, early in the book, okay? But read the story. I mean, the GPS ankle bracelet, that's like the mark that God set upon Cain. And the Florida justice system is inadvertently making the same point that God was making with Cain. That if you let those who should not live remain alive, number one, they'll be vagabonds upon the earth. And eventually their bitterness and their hatred of justice will infect everyone around them. And the only logical conclusion will be massive catastrophe. Death on a biblical scale. Yeah. You know, folks, God already proved the point with Cain. Why do men insist on attempting to prove that we can do God one better? You know, speaking of the mark on Cain, you know, I'm flipping through the History Channel, and this goes to biblical ignorance as well. Flipping through TV, and I come to the History Channel, they have a new show called Marked. M-A-R-K-E-D, Marked. And it's all about tattoos, and I know, I don't like tattoos, but I stopped. It's like a car accident, what can I say? Anyway, it's a show all about tattoos, and one of the tattoos they were talking about, it incorporated a skull and flames. Imagine that. A skull and flames and the number 666 on this tattoo. And this guy's trying to tell the reporter, you know, what this tattoo means. And at one point, the reporter asks, well, what about the 666? And the guy says, well, you know, if you go by Iron Maiden, that's the number of the beast. That's what Iron Maiden says. I don't know. I think it might go back further than Iron Maiden, but maybe not. Anyway, these guys with these tattoos on this show, they're not biblically literate. They're generally not literate, period. But they do, I'm sure, own a number of Iron Maiden records. Now, I've gotten off track now. Talking about Iron Maiden. I guess I better just get off this whole Philip Garrido and the sex offenders living under the bridge and the justice system being such a failure I have daughters. I have three daughters. And I know there's people out there listening who have young children. And, you know, at what point are we as Americans going to assert our God-given common sense and start to demand justice in these cases that are so egregious and so obvious? I mean, I'm on the verge of starting a group or something, a political action committee, a 501c3 charity to advocate the swift and public and painful execution, particularly of child molesters. Because you would think, ladies and gentlemen, that that's something we could all agree on. Us and the liberals. I mean, these stories, they're going to keep coming out, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to get more and more horrendous, just as they have over the last 15 years of my life as a political observer. They've just gotten more and more heinous, more and more horrendous, and they're going to keep coming out. Perhaps we should seize on the pure hideous nature of these crimes to try to institute some sort of justice in our country. Because I would think that even the likes of Phil Donahue and Dan Rather and maybe even Barry Ho himself would agree that in some cases, the criminal simply must be put to death. My extremely attractive audio engineer has, dipped back in there into some records I didn't even know we had. Coming off that last song, this is actually appropriate. There is a transgendered activist running for mayor of an Idaho town. Yeah, Nampa, Idaho, from the Associated Press. Melissa Sue Robinson is the unofficial liberal emissary of Nampa, which is a sprawling Republican stronghold in southwest Idaho. The 58-year-old person was born male and still carries the slightly larger-than-average woman build of Charles, well, we'll just call it Charles. Who legally changed his name and underwent surgery back in 1998 to become, allegedly, a woman. Anyway, he was married for 17 years. He owned a construction company and was a Republican when he ran for city council back in Lansing, Michigan, where he was raised with his identical twin brother until their parents divorced in the 1960s. Now she says she's, I'm getting confused. Now he says he's a she. He became a Democrat some time ago. Let's assume it was after his parents got divorced. And in 2004 became the first transgender to run for state legislature in Michigan. By the way, Nampa, Idaho is a farming and manufacturing town of about 83,000 residents, and they don't seem to be all that concerned that Robinson previously lived as a man. Why did I do that story? I don't know. Just to point out the ludicrous ridiculosity of the modern political system in the United States of America. Is that a word, ridiculosity? It is now, and this is it right here. If you look it up in the dictionary, there's going to be a picture of Chuck, who now, what does he call himself now? Melissa Sue. All right. Now, on to something even grosser. Well, you decide. Dateline Iowa City, Iowa. An undercover video has surfaced showing unwanted chicks being tossed alive into a grinder at an Iowa hatchery. And when I say chicks, I'm talking about little cute, yellow, puffy, cute little chicks. Well, animal rights groups are upset, as you might imagine. They say the industry needs to change its ways and treat chickens, hogs, cattle, and other animals with more care. We have a spokesman from the Humane Society says, there's a real disconnect between our love for animals in this society and these practices that are hidden largely from the public. Yeah. You know, the video was filmed with a hidden camera at a hatchery in Spencer, Iowa. It shows several chicks dying on the factory floor and others being tossed haphazardly into a grinder by a worker. And a report indicates that chicks are also killed on electrically charged plates and by suffocation with carbon dioxide. Now, last year, according to the Associated Press, California voters approved a measure that bars farmers from confining veal calves, pregnant pigs, and egg-laying hens in spaces so small that they can't turn around, lie down, or extend their limbs. The major elements of the law will take effect in 2015 over the objection of farmers who worry that it will be costly to expand hen houses and buy more land for these animals. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't own any pets. I have in the past, and it's okay to like animals. I mean, I think they're delicious. But even on another level, it's okay to like animals. And it's okay to be uncomfortable with, you know, scenes from the slaughterhouse. I mean, there's a reason that the guy in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre worked at the slaughterhouse. Because it's creepy, and we don't like to think about that. I mean, we enjoy a nice steak. But we'd rather not get into the details of exactly how that steak arrived on our kitchen table. So it's okay if you're uncomfortable. If you don't think you would ever want to work at a slaughterhouse, I think you're probably a fairly normal person. But I want to warn people, you know, it's wrong to assert that animals have rights akin to human rights. It's just wrong. To do so is to denigrate human life, human rights, which is what the leaders of the animal rights movement are really all about. Now, the ASPCA, I don't think they're part of the, at least I hope not, a part of the flaming liberal animal rights activists who think that animals should be able to take people to court. But the leadership of the radical animal rights movement, that's really what they're about. They're about denigrating human life, human rights. And I can prove it. You interview any one of these leaders of the animal rights movement who care so much about animals. And, I would just remind them. You know, a surgical abortion is at least as barbaric as throwing any living being into a meat grinder. It's at least. But the animal rights leadership is okay with chopping up human babies. But you see a chick get thrown into a meat grinder, now they want to bring a federal case. So a bit of hypocrisy is all I'm saying. I myself have never thrown a chick into a meat grinder, but I have chopped off the head of a chicken. And I ate the chicken. And I don't feel guilty about it. All right, now let's move in quickly. Only a couple of stories from the Domestic Tranquility File. Dateline London. Again, from the Associated Press, two British teenagers went on trial this past week for allegedly plotting the greatest massacre ever, inspired by the Columbine killings in the United States. Prosecutors told a jury in Manchester, there in northwest England, that Matthew Swift and Ross McKnight, a couple of teenage boys, wrote up detailed plans for the massacre, which they called Project Rainbow. Yeah. The prosecutor said they plan to copy and emulate the actions of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. They had a picture of Klebold in their locker. And underneath the picture was written, they say a picture paints a thousand words. This is my favorite picture in the whole world. It was a picture of one of the Columbine killers with a weapon. Anyway, that's from England. Dateline Holden, Louisiana, from the Associated Press, out of the Domestic Tranquility File. A man shot his estranged wife, son, and 2-year-old grandson to death, critically wounded his pregnant daughter-in-law at their rural Louisiana home, then killed himself. as police tried to pull over his car 20 minutes later. The shootings appear to stem from an ongoing dispute between Dennis Carter Sr. and his wife, Donna, who had a restraining order against him. The city, Holden is, by the way, 30 miles east of Baton Rouge. Sheriff's officer said, "It's very unusual to have this many victims. This is an anomaly by any stretch of the imagination." That's what the sheriff's office said. I disagree. At this point, I don't think this is an anomaly anymore. I think this is an epidemic at this point. And in fact, I want to move out of the domestic tranquility file because I just don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's go to politics for something a little more lighthearted. Dateline Boston, Massachusetts, from the Associated Press. Massachusetts officials are considering adding Senator Edward M. Kennedy's name to public buildings and landmarks. Yeah, big shock there, right? Yep, they're considering Boston's Logan International Airport. They want to call it Logan Kennedy International Airport. There's a charter high school there in Boston. They want to change the name of their facility to the Edward M. Kennedy Academy for Health Careers. And planning was already underway before his timely death for a building to house an Edward M. Kennedy Institute for the Senate. And if that's where they're going to lock up the senators, I'm all for it. I think they belong in an institution, and I can think of no more appropriate name. I am a little bit surprised, though. No bridges on the list. And they've got a number of bridges there in Massachusetts, but not a single one is under consideration. Perhaps because of a lack of appreciation for irony there in Massachusetts. In a related story, Senator John Kerry is positioning himself as the political heir to Edward Kennedy, pledging to thousands of people attending his town hall meeting in Massachusetts that he would fight for the health care overhaul championed by his now dead colleague. He wants to be Ted Kennedy's heir? Now, he was in Vietnam, but I don't think he ever killed anybody. I don't think he ever killed anyone, whether he was in the military or a civilian or drunk at a party or driving some woman who wasn't his wife home. I mean, I don't know where Kerry gets off thinking that he's up on par in Democratic politics with Teddy Kennedy. I suppose we shall see. Now let's move on into the justice file. And there's not a lot of justice this week. In fact, there's a lot of injustice. But let's jump right into it so that you can at least be aware of what's happening and why Western civilization is teetering at the rim of hell. But we'll start with some good news. Or do we want to start with the bad news? Well, let's start with the bad news. Dateline Dallas, Texas. An inmate once on death row in Texas was a free man last Thursday, 9 months after his conviction was overturned in the 1985 bombing deaths of three people back on Thanksgiving. So DNA evidence has allegedly exonerated this Michael Roy Tony. But the state of Texas has reserved the right to refile charges against him in the killings if an investigation warrants it. Tony was arrested in 1997 while already jailed on an unrelated charge after telling an inmate he committed the bombing. But later he changed his testimony, says that I never did any of that. I was just trying to scam the system to get another inmate released, whatever his story was. Anyway, DNA evidence there is no DNA evidence associated with these bombings that links Mr. Tony to the bombings. So his conviction has been overturned and he's a free man. Now, why does that matter? Well, listen to this. Another Dateline, Dallas, Texas. Thomas McGowan was exonerated last year based on DNA evidence after spending nearly 23 years in prison for rape and robbery. He and other exonerees in Texas, which, by the way, leads the nation in freeing the wrongly convicted, soon will become instant millionaires under a new state law that took effect last week. Exonerees will get $80,000 for each year they spent behind bars. The compensation also includes lifetime annuity payments that for most of the wrongly convicted are worth between $40,000 and $50,000 a year. So now Mr. Tony, along with this Thomas McGowan character, because no DNA was found at the scene linking them to their crimes, they've been exonerated. Other evidence has been cast aside. It is my assertion that a majority of these exonerated men are in fact guilty, and we'll settle that up on Judgment Day. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. And now Texas is going to give these exonerees, basically, you know, $40,000 to $50,000 a year, free and clear. I'm sure none of these guys ever made that kind of money in their lives. Exonerees also, according to the story from the Associated Press, will receive an array of social services, including job training. I mean, you're giving the guy $40,000 to $50,000 a year. What is he going to want job training for? You think he's going to get a job? Anyway, so, you know, that's the state of justice. There's so much murder, mayhem, bloodshed, and killing going on that the justice system can't keep up. And quite honestly, sometimes, innocent people are convicted. At least they're innocent of that particular crime. And what we need is a justice system that really cuts down on the crime so that we make sure we can focus in on those cases and make sure that everyone who should be convicted is convicted. Make sure everyone who is exonerated is exonerated. And I have a lot of ideas on how to do that. Maybe I'll make that a part of my 501c3 charity to reinstitute justice in America. I'll think about that. In the meantime, Dirk, this one's for you. I had specifically requested a Depeche Mode song there, and my extremely attractive audio engineer picked the hairiest hair metal song of all hair metal in history to play for my good friend Dirk. Anyways, so there you have it. Can't get her to cooperate with me on any level at this point. All right. That's just about enough of that. Okay. Man, I felt like I needed some hairspray after that song. I need to wipe off my eyeliner. Now, wait a minute. I think Depeche Mode wore eyeliner. I think they still wear eyeliner. Anyway. All right, let's move on. Dateline Paducah, Kentucky, a former soldier received 5 consecutive life sentences last week for his role in the rape and murder of an Iraqi teenager and the slaying of 3 of her family members. Yeah. Stephen Dale Green, 24 years old, of Midland, Texas, shot and killed the teenage girl's mother, father, and sister, then became the 3rd soldier to assault her. Before shooting her in the face, her body was set on fire back in March 12th of 2006 at their rural home outside Mahmoudia, Iraq, about 20 miles south of Baghdad. The civilian court couldn't reach a unanimous decision about whether Green should get a death sentence. And you just got to wonder, well, if you don't give a death sentence in a case where a fellow assaults a woman, slaughters her whole family, and then shoots her in the face... I mean, I cannot comprehend. Anyway, Mr. Green, he actually has the nerve to speak. He says, quote, "You can act like I'm a sociopath, you can act like I'm a sex offender or whatever. If I had not joined the army, if I had not gone to Iraq, I would not have gotten caught up in anything," unquote. products of the modern culture of immorality, the post-Christian, post-morality culture, are now in the armed services of the United States. And this is just one example of them. You saw other examples back there at Abu Ghraib with all the deviants. Kids coming out of the public high schools, you know, listening to their Eminem records and their hip-hop and going over there and applying what they've learned. Now listen to this. At a hearing back in May, Mr. Green repeatedly apologized to the family, saying he knew little about Iraqis and realizes now that his actions then were wrong. He knew little about Iraqis? He knew little about Iraqis? What does that mean, Mr. Green? Did you think that maybe murdering a whole family, assaulting and killing their daughter in Iraq, maybe that was okay? You just didn't realize that that kind of thing was frowned on over there? Unbelievable. Now, and here's a candidate, yet another candidate, to be nominated by my new charity to reinstitute justice in America. I'll have to give more thought to it because that is just, it's shocking and unbelievable. Shocking and unbelievable. Let's move, well, we'll close the justice file with just a wee bit of good news. Where'd it go? Oh no, I lost the good news. Oh, that's a tragedy. The only good news, oh, here it is. I thought I lost the only good news I had from the justice file, and I would have left the entire audience completely depressed. But this good news is not even approaching the magnitude of the bad news that we've covered. So, but we'll go ahead. Dateline Las Vegas, Nevada. The Nevada Supreme Court denied O.J. Simpson's request Friday to be let out of prison pending a decision on the appeal of his conviction in a gunpoint heist in a Las Vegas hotel room. Simpson lawyer Malcolm Laverne, back there in Las Vegas, said he was disappointed with the high court ruling Friday. He said he had not yet been able to notify the former NFL star of the decision. Apparently, O.J. Simpson was incommunicado, busily searching the Lovelock Correctional Facility for the killer of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. O.J. was busy at the time. Dateline Berlin, that's in Germany, for all of you adults who are looking forward to the Barry Ho speech on Tuesday. Dateline Berlin, from the Reuters Wire, Germans are hoarding energy-guzzling incandescent light bulbs ahead of a looming European Union-wide ban. Yeah. Sales of incandescent bulbs soared about 35% in the first half of the year ahead of a ban that starts this week. So the EU is planning to phase out the use of incandescent light bulbs as part of its push to save energy, cut greenhouse gas emissions, fight climate change, and achieve complete and total self-righteousness. Let's see. The ban will be expanded each year, and by 2012, production and importing of all incandescent light bulbs will be prohibited throughout the EU. Yeah, they're going to make people who have incandescent light bulbs criminals. Meanwhile, you can have an operation to change from a man to a woman, and that's fine. That's celebrated. But an incandescent light bulb, that's where we draw the line. The EU Commission projects that the ban on energy inefficient bulbs will save about 40 terawatt hours of energy in the EU every year. And they say that's enough to meet the energy demands of a small country, if you could believe that. You know, I'm not sure I do believe that. I'm not sure I buy any of this. Now, I'm not against these the little corkscrew fluorescent bulbs. I've got a number of them in my house. I bought them thinking, you know, that these are going to save me. I bought them because they would cut down on my electricity bill, frankly. And I don't know, have they cut down on the electricity bill?
I have no idea.
We have no idea if they actually have or not. But has anyone done a study? I looked. I searched the internet. I could not find if there's been a study, you know, on the comparative costs of production you know, and disposal for these fluorescent bulbs? I mean, how do we know we're really saving energy? Because I know one thing that the left is capable of is they are capable of declaring something holy, and then no matter how unholy that thing becomes, they still roll forward like a bunch of mindless bureaucrats touting the holiness and the justness and the goodness of whatever it is that they have declared holy. Like hybrid cars, they're holy. These fluorescent light bulbs, they're apparently holy. In fact, they may be the holy of holies in the liberal economy. And I think I want to see a study. I hope someone, anyone out there with an engineering background, help me out here. I know that these things have mercury in them. They look like they're an awful lot harder to make than a regular light bulb. And, you know, they're way more expensive, so they better be harder to make or we're all getting ripped off. Anyway, I'm not sure I buy into all of this. All right, now, let's see here. The idea to ban incandescent light bulbs across the EU came from one Sigmar Gabriel in 2007 when Germany held the EU's rotating presidency. So the idea actually came from a German, and now the Germans are hoarding the light bulbs. It's kind of ironic. So I didn't know the EU had a rotating presidency. I think all that rotating is making them dizzy over there. Maybe they should stop the president from spinning out of control over there. Anyway, we'll look further into that. Actually, we probably won't. Just like we never really paid attention to what the electric bill was. We just pay the thing. It always seems high. I know that. All right. From the international file, Miyuki Hatoyama, wife of Japan's Prime Minister-elect Yukio Hatoyama, is a lifestyle guru, a macrobiotics enthusiast, an author of cookbooks, a retired actress, a divorcee, and she claims that she was once abducted by aliens. I'm not making this up. She says she has traveled to the planet Venus when she was abducted by aliens.
That's common in Japan.
Oh, that's common in Japan. Oh, okay. I thought this was a shocking story. I thought the people of Japan would be shocked that they've elected a guy who married an obviously insane person. But this isn't that big of a deal over there, huh? Well, she also, now she's 62 years old. She's not like a 19-year-old college girl trying to get attention. But she says she also knew Tom Cruise in a former incarnation when he was Japanese, she says. Yeah. She says she's now looking forward to making a movie with him. And probably will, right? He's kind of a nut job, isn't he?
Yeah.
She says, she says, while my body was asleep, I think my soul rode on a triangular-shaped UFO and went to Venus. She says it was a very beautiful place, and it was very green. So, Miyuki, that wasn't Venus. Because Venus is not beautiful, and it's not green. We have pictures of it. She a nut job. She's a total crackpot. She's the first lady of Japan. And apparently her and her husband started dating while she was still married to her first husband. So, I mean, this woman has no shame. She has no standards. She has no rationality. And surely this can't be good for Japan. Surely this can't be good. All right. Well, now, let me do Chuck Rangel here as we... I thought we were... Well, we're heading for home here. My goodness, we're already out of time. Already under fire for a wide range of ethical questions, Charlie Rangel played the race card in the healthcare reform debate the other day, saying racial bias against Barry Ho is behind opposition to healthcare reform. That's what he said.
Some Americans have not gotten over the fact that Obama is president of the United States. They go to sleep wondering, how did this happen?
Well, Chuck, it's not because of his race, okay? Because I voted for a black guy myself in the last election. And I'm about the whitest cracker you'll ever meet, Chuck. But I voted for the black guy. What's his name? I voted for him. I should remember his name. Alan Keyes. I voted for a black guy. Anyway, Chuck Rangel. There's another quote from here that I wanted to do. Oh, here we go. He likened the fight to provide health care reform for the uninsured for the to the fight for civil rights.
Oh,
yeah. Like we couldn't see that coming, Chuck. He says,
why do black people have to bargain for what is theirs? Why do we have to wait for the right to vote? Why can't we get what God has given us? And that is the right to live as human beings and not to negotiate with white Southerners.
Take it easy, Chuck. You're just going to get kicked out of office and health reform is going to fail. And Barry Ho is going to be run out of town on a rail after one short term, Lord willing. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's black and you are an idiot. It has to do with the fact that America is not yet ready, I hope, to be taken over by an avowed Marxist, child-killing, madman liberal. A guy who's a lot like you, Chuck. Dateline Miami from the Reuters wire, a bank in Florida refused to cash a check for an armless man because he could not provide a thumbprint. At the Bank of America branch in downtown Tampa, insisted on a thumbprint identification for the gentleman because he was trying to cash a check drawn on his wife's account at the bank. He didn't have any arms, ladies and gentlemen. For all you public school teachers, that means he didn't have any thumbs either. This gentleman, what's his name here? Mr. Valdez. He says his treatment by the bank violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. Oh, great. So he's going to sue. You know, I mean, the guy's got a funny story to tell for the rest of his life. He got on CNN. He had his 15 minutes of fame. Now he's going to sue. I mean, there's an employee at the bank that should probably be fired for being a moron and for being unable to think outside the box. But please, not another lawsuit. Anyway, that's it, folks. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life, Colorado Right to Life, Personhood USA, Denver Bible Church, and over at TheologyOnline.com for everything that you all do. And I want to thank my other brother, Daryl, for making it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. I'll be back with you next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.